Power and think, hey, we're on the air. Hey, folks, thanks for tuning into the Banff Podcast. This is your host, Mike Lafferty. And this is our Pick of the Week chat, which is a occasionally weekly series we do where we talk about whatever pop culture we're into right then. And because it's the Banff Podcast and we're gaming focused, we usually work in some RPG talk as well. And joining us on that angle are the guys from the era, the Empowered Kickstarter. How you guys doing?
We're good, I think.
Hi. Good evening. Hey.
Could you guys introduce yourselves just real fast?
Sure. I'm Ed. I'm the creator of the Era Games in general and Era the Empowered in particular. I create games because no one's actually stopped me from doing it yet.
All right.
I'm Leo. I usually help him out with various things like running conventions, bouncing ideas off of him. Normally he's got the good ones. And I also do audio. I'm technically the head of audio with Shades of Vengeance, so I master some of the recording and all that kind of thing.
Well, and also he's understating his role a bit, actually, because Era the Empowered, we've actually done 5 audio stories that we're releasing during the campaign. And the first 2 are already out. They've both been really, really well received. And he's actually done the reading for both of them.
Oh, excellent, excellent. And you guys have been at this for a while. You've got several of these under your belt, it seems like.
Yeah, this is actually it's a bit funny because it's the 6th game that we've kind of done a core rulebook for. But we did a rulebook primer for it way, way back, like about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We did a sort of a 40-page rulebook primer. Which just sort of covered the basics of the rules and so on, but didn't include character creation. Okay. And we released that back then. We ran a Kickstarter that was successful. And since then, we've kind of been working to develop the universe and sort of make sure the character creation rules are right and so on. It's been a sort of a slow and careful process because, as I'm sure most people know about superhero RPGs, they're very, very difficult to balance.
Oh, yeah.
So Leo was one of my many guinea pigs in the process of getting that right. And, you know, we're finally there. We finally got to the point where the core rulebook is sort of ready. We're happy with all of the, you know, all of the character creation and so on.
A lot of my characters died very gruesome deaths.
I'll pour out a 40 for him later. So how we usually do things is we do the pop culture discussion first, and then we segue into the Kickstarter talk later. But I save all those details. We're eager to hear them. 2 more panelists have joined us, and a fellow countryman of yours, Aid Smith, has just joined. Aid, how you doing?
Hello. How you doing?
Hello, Aid. How you doing?
I'm not too bad. How you going? You all right?
Hello. Slightly unexpected.
I know. Yes, I do know Ed. So,
Aid and I are actually working on a project together at the moment.
Do all you Englishmen just know each other?
Yeah, we all live within 5 miles of each other. Do you know?
Englishmen to the left of me, Americans to the right. Oh, here we go.
You guys just play soccer, and there's just like 12 of you, and you just all right.
Well, Ed, that's pretty much how it works. Yeah, the RPG creators versus anyone else.
All right. Do you lose a lot?
Oh, all the time.
Okay.
I think, Mike, it really comes down to the fact that these are non-Warhammer gamers.
Yeah, fair enough.
And when you're in Britain, that's a thing.
Okay. I was unaware of that. That's cool. Also joining us today is frequent co-host Walt Rebilliard. How you doing, Walt?
Hola. What's going on?
All right, how you feeling? Walt, for any listeners who listened to last week's podcast, is recovering from having his nose surgically reset after being broken in a black belt test. So,
I surgically removed. I thought, crikey, what's going on there?
Yes, okay. You know, I'm going for the Skeletor look this year. Other than that, we're good.
So, all right, so you're doing okay? You're heavily medicated and not feeling any pain?
No, I'm on Tylenol these days. So all the good stuff was a few days ago. Now it's just caffeine and hate.
All right, man, I feel you. I'm there too.
Tagline for Tylenol.
I'm a big fan of
caffeine and hate.
Yeah.
Well, hey, let's start with pick of the week. And Walt, since you just joined, I'll ask you first. What are you into this week?
I just read the Lazarus Contract, which is the graphic novel that connects Titans Deathstroke and a couple of the other DC titles. The whole idea was that way back, Robin made a deal with Deathstroke to protect his daughter. Mm-hmm. And he said that, look, if you do this, I'll make sure that I will never kill again. And what ends up happening is he doesn't manage to keep all of the bargain because his daughter eventually gets into the same kind of life that he is. And so Deathstroke comes out of retirement. He then approaches the speedsters of the team to with another Lazarus contract, which is use the Speed Force to help me get back my the original son I lost that drove me into being who I am today. Of course, anytime you mess with time, it gets stupid fast. So it was a good read. Our longtime friend Dan Abnett did some of the writing on this. It was a little jarring at the end. Some of the ending issues from Deathstroke, they had changed artists. So that kind of threw things off a little bit. Something that messed with my head also is that the current Aqualad looks exactly like he does on the Young Justice TV show, but is not the character from Young Justice. So that kind of screwed my brain a little bit.
That's confusing.
Yeah. So, I mean, other than that, you know, it's just my tiptoeing into the waters as far as DC Comics goes, because I'm a newer reader to DC, and especially in Rebirth, because a lot of the stuff they're doing is pretty fun.
Read more Deathstroke. That's all I can say. Deathstroke is a fantastic book for Rebirth. It is really right.
Yeah, it's I've been digging into that slowly. This actually is Deathstroke. I believe it's 1617 is part
that
of this.
That sounds right. And an annual, I think, yeah.
Yep, and the annual. And then what ends up happening right afterwards is he starts going into his little, like, Dark Titans Deathstroke team.
Oh, Defiance, yes, of course. Yes, that starts it. Yep. And that's just about to wrap up this month as well, so.
Yes, so I'm looking forward to catching up. So this was I've read the first Deathstroke trade. I've read the first Titans trade and the first Teen Titans trade, but I saw this was on sale on Comixology last night. So I'm like, you know something, I'm going to grab it and check it out. But it was really good. Not as fighty as I thought it was going to be, but especially with Deathstroke as the main character. But a lot of, hey, I'm Wally West. No, I'm Wally West. Why can't we both be Wally West? So there was a lot of that and a lot of exposition. So it was definitely a fun read. I for anybody who is into all these titles, I would recommend it. Because it collects the whole kind of series together. But as somebody who's not like steeped in DC lore, I had to look a lot of stuff up. So, I mean, that's just one caveat.
Yeah, we should get Abnett back on. I've been trying to emails with him, but it's always fun to have Abnett come on and talk about the Titans and Aquaman and everything else he's into. And even Warhammer, called back to earlier in the podcast.
It's all being rebooted, isn't it, Titans? So that would be interesting to see what happens with that.
Everything is always rebooted all the time in mainstream comics anymore.
After the Justice League 4-issue series, they're doing a new series of Titans, new series of Justice League, and potentially a Young Justice book as well. That's a possibility.
Aid, what are you into right now since you're talking?
Well, this is the problem. You've caught me on my off week again, so my comics don't actually arrive until this Saturday coming. So I've had another month's worth of comics come in. So generally speaking, I've only been catching up with what's been previewed on Bleeding Cool and other websites. So I would say first thing that's rankled me this month has been the fact that Marvel have decided to abandon their legacy numbering and gone straight to a load of new number ones for June. Which is kind of like, hey, Captain America, yeah, we're going back to Legacy. It's all going to be like the 40s. Oh, no, crap, sales are down. Number one, get one out quick. Which is a bit annoying. But the one good thing about it is the new Hulk series called The Immortal Hulk sounds really, really good. It's a Hulk series where effectively it's going to be a Hulk horror comic. Banner is going to be available in a day, and Banner can die, but every night the Hulk returns and will cause problems for everybody else. So it's a completely different take on the Hulk. The artwork's very, very good, and the writing, I think, is Ewing or whatever. I believe he's a very good writer from some stuff I read in the past, so that could be particularly interesting.
Okay, is this non-canon or is this canon?
No, this is a continuation. Since Banner has been returned, Banner was obviously killed by Hawkeye in the whatever the book was called, because I've completely forgotten what it was called.
Yeah, that one with the whole
the Hydra thang.
Yeah.
He was killed in that, and then he was brought back apparently by Hydra, and then he was something else happened to him, and he's kind of like I believe he's appeared in the new Avengers books, which again is another thing. Those Avengers books are ending, and we're having a new number one Avengers as well in June, so that's interesting. But the it's continuation of Banner. Banner's back, and I've always said if you don't bring Banner back, hello.
Yeah, we can still hear him. Yeah. No, we can hear him.
No, we can hear him.
Okay.
Ah, see, you're just not listening. I'm rambling again. That's my problem. But yeah, Banner's back. So the one true Hulk is back. Going to be a good book.
All right, cool. Jacob, how about you? What are you reading right now?
I'm reading a number of things.
What were you want to talk about? I'm
joining a lot of DC titles right now, but what I want to talk about is Zombie Orpheus Entertainment. Last weekend, I was at their ZoeCon, which happens irregularly, pretty much whenever they decide to put it on, and it was one of the most entertaining and successful cons I have ever been to. I'm not just saying that because they flew me out there and put me up in a hotel as one of their guests. This was the first experience I've ever had of anyone doing that for me. But I gotta say, it was just a delight to be surrounded by other people who were so appreciative of their filmmaking and their various series that are available online. And yeah, if you haven't seen anything by Zombie Orpheus or Dead Gentleman, and you're a gamer, why haven't you?
Are some of the titles?
Okay, first of all, there's the Gamers series. It started with the Gamers. There's a couple of movies called The Gamers Hands of Fate, The Gamers Darkness Rising, The Gamers Humans and Households, Gamers Natural One, and just recently, it hasn't been released yet, but it will be available soon, is The Gamers, the series, The Shadow Menace. That's the newest project they've released. They've shown it at Gen Con. They showed it at ZoeCon. It should be available soon to the general public. They usually release it on their YouTube channel. Currently, it's available on their premium subscription channel, which you have to sign up their Patreon for at least $5 to access.
Okay.
But otherwise, if you want to see some of their shows, the majority of it is all available on YouTube, and they have several of their movies that are streaming on Amazon Prime. If you are a gamer, I really, really recommend you watch them. Even if you're not a gamer and you enjoy genre shows, I still recommend them because, you know, their series Journey Quest is just a straight fantasy series. There's no gaming related stuff involved in that, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, I've seen The Gamers, and that was pretty funny. But that was a few years ago. I didn't realize they've been active since then.
It's just been getting better, and the quality of their material is better. The quality of their filmmaking is better. When I watched the newest one, the Shadow Menace, it's like watching a Hollywood production. It is that good quality.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good praise then. Ed, are you guys from Era of the Empowered? Do you want to chime in?
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I don't currently have much capacity to read comics because I'm very busy writing comics. I've recently just finished a comic called The Bug War Number 2, which is based in my gaming universe, Era of the Consortium. And actually, since finishing that, and I've actually sent it out just recently to Kickstarter backers, I've moved straight on to an Era of the Empowered comic called Blue Shift, which is actually currently up on Kickstarter. So we've got a sort of a second division to Shades of Vengeance, known as SOV Comics. There's a great guy who runs that called John, I do a lot of the co-writing. I create a lot of the characters for the gaming side. So, you know, I work with him a lot to bring those to life within the comics. And so the last comic I actually read was reading over the lettering that John was doing for the Era of the Empowered comic, Blue Shift. So kind of, I'm going to be kind of cheating if you're asking me that question. I'm sure Leo has been doing many more interesting things than me.
Can I cheat if they're not super up to date? I think the trade paperbacks were released either one was last year and one was the year before. I think I've just bought the second trade of Rebels by Brian Wood. It was Rebels, These Free and Independent States. It's a historic kind of period drama comic. Really nicely set out, kind of goes from the War of Independence to the War of 1812 and uses specific characters, a specific family to give you a perspective. So These Free and Independent States is about the son of one of the first founding militiamen who decides he's a shipbuilder. He just becomes fascinated with ships and the Navy, and he joins the fledgling US Navy as they try and survive the quasi-war between themselves, the French, and the British Empire. And then the other comic that I've been reading, I think it's 2016, I can't quite remember, it's Pretty Deadly by Kelly Sue DeConnick, I think. And it's about, it's sort of a Western meets martial arts kind of comic. It's what if the Daughter of Death was on a mission to sort of pay back those that deserved it. And it does all these kind of spaghetti Western tropes with a manga twist, apparently, in terms of the way they set out the layout of the frames and the plot line and all that kind of thing. Got the first trade. It was pretty stellar. I'm looking forward to it.
Didn't you guys say you just seen a movie you want to talk about?
Yeah, go on. You can.
We have literally like half an hour ago. We finished watching Air Force One. Have you seen Air Force One
with Harrison Ford?
Yeah,
Harrison Ford. Absolutely brilliant movie. We were sort of going through the whole thing, trying to figure out like the first half hour was like, is he a Democrat or a Republican? So you know, we spent about half an hour trying to figure that out. We came to the conclusion, in case you're wondering, that he is probably a Republican. Judging by the way that he handles a gun, I think was
the... And also the fact that he keeps a prized baseball mitt on Air Force One, which is probably one of the kickers.
But yeah, we enjoyed the hell out of that movie. We were just kind of watching it for a bit of a laugh. Leo hadn't seen it before, so you know, I just thought, okay, you know what? We got 2 hours to kill before this happens. Let's go ahead and watch something that Leo hasn't seen. That's and the acting performance by Gary Oldman, every single time I watch that movie, I've seen it a few times now, every time blows me away. Just that guy, I you know, you actually turned to me at one point and said, hey, I think if anyone else had tried to give that line about Mother Russia, I think it would have come across way too hammy, you know. And Gary Oldman just delivers that with sort of the poise, the believability.
As far as 90s action movies go, this is definitely one of the best, and not so bad it's good, the best. Like, it takes itself seriously, but it's worth a watch, you guys. If you've never seen it and you want a taste of Harrison Ford as the president of these United States, just give it a shot. It's a real ride. Oh, there's such great CG as well. The blue screen and the CG, it's just perfect.
Do you want to see at the end there where they're transferring from planes to planes?
Yeah, it's great. Oh,
now, my friends and I always joke about Air Force One, saying it's his character from like all those Grisham spy films. That's just him. He's now the president.
Yeah. We actually commented right at the start that the very beginning of the movie was very reminiscent of Rainbow Six.
Yeah, it felt like a Rainbow Six movie, actually. How a Rainbow Six movie should be set out, if there was one. And then once the CG came in, it felt very Metal Gear Solid, in my opinion.
Well, the gods are just about the right level of stupid.
And Russian.
And Russian.
Solid too.
Any other American institutions you'd like to slag while you guys are here?
Hey, we're not slagging. We thought it was fantastic. We loved it.
It was a fantastic example of why the American cinema system is still an institution. So don't worry about it. It was cracking. We're not taking the mic.
We're not. We really
No, it's fine. It's fine. Okay, let's talk Kickstarters. Era of the Empowered is your superhero Kickstarter, and we cover superhero RPGs frequently on this podcast. Tell me about Era of the Empowered. What are you guys doing there?
So Era of the Empowered, the idea behind it is to sort of bring in a new way of describing powers. Using the Era D10 rule set, which I've already used for, as I mentioned, five other games. Now, Era the Empowered uses a power tree system, which you set up in such a way that you can actually access very, very powerful abilities right from the start, but you won't have a lot of skill with those abilities, which allows you to balance even some of the most powerful things like, resurrection or blue shifting through the atmosphere. You are a speedster, so when you run towards someone at a significant fraction of the speed of light, you will blue shift and become completely invisible while you're running towards them, thanks to your blue/violet costume. That actually is the concept behind the character blue shift that I mentioned a little earlier.
Okay. Hey, I've got one question for you. Let's say I'm a listener on this podcast, and I type in Era the Empowered, superpowered RPG. I actually get two Kickstarters. There's the one you guys are doing currently.
Yeah.
And then there's one from 2015.
Yeah, so that's the one I mentioned where we did the rulebook primer, the thin book, the 40-pager, where we didn't include the character creation. And it was kind of like it was a proof of concept. That Kickstarter did really well for what it was offering. We got a decent number of backers and a lot of support, which really made us sort of decide that we did want to continue on and build the core rulebook that I'm talking about.
Okay, excellent.
And from a kind of convention perspective, it was a chance for us to get feedback about how the superpower system was being implemented or what some of our recurring fans wanted in a superhero RPG that was ran on Era D10. So we tried to...
Yeah, and from that, we built this sort of... One of the things that we do with the Era games is we build sort of expansive and detailed worlds. So from all of the feedback that we got, and also with John's help, who runs SOV Comics, I mentioned him earlier. He's actually a 15-year veteran of comic writing. So he's got a lot of experience behind that. And, between us, we managed to put together a world that gives you not just sort of one scenario. Most games sort of focus on, okay, it is now and you are the Avengers, right? And you're at this point in the story and that's pretty much it. What we do is we actually provide a timeline, and we did this originally for Era the Consortium, the sci-fi game. We actually offered 500 years of playable history with every subgenre of sci-fi that you might want within those 500 years. So you pick what you like and you hop in at that point in the timeline. Now, in the same way for Era the Empowered, what we've done is we've created a timeline where, you can start at the very beginning and be one of the very first superheroes to emerge. You know, you're uncertain with your powers. No one really knows what empowered are or what it means to be a superhero or a supervillain. You know, how does the world react to you? You know, it's terrifying, to be honest. Then slightly later, Atlantis invades. You know, they literally just walk up onto the surface of the Earth, and they're, super strong, super tough, telepathic beings that, no human army can stand against. As you go later, there's sort of the Atlantis invasion is defeated, and then there's an escalation among the empowered, the good guys sort of come together in a sort of an Avengers or Justice League type team, and the bad guys come together in sort of their equivalent of that team. And then, all of the stakes are escalating, and what happens as a result. And then you move on to, the old gods return, the ones of myth and legend. They come back. They awaken from a slumber, and they you know, they begin to sort of declare parts of the world their property. And, you know, how do the empowered respond to this? How do they fight back against, you know, individuals who have thousands of years of experience being empowered? And then, you know, we have an Assassin's Guild. We have, you know, a point where the empowered become part of the government and sort of a government-sponsored police force across the whole world. We have alien invasion. We have an extraterrestrial threat, which doesn't quite qualify as an alien invasion, but, you know, sort of consumes empowered. So how do you stand against that when even getting close to it is going to mean that your powers are removed? You know, how do you defeat that enemy? So all of these things, they're all contained within the timeline for Era of the Empowered. So we've done this really, really detailed history. We've done a detailed breakdown of what all the important locations are, what all the factions are, and so on. It's a so it's very much a labor of love to bring this universe to life. And the comics sort of slot into that universe. They, you know, they're describing events that maybe we didn't go into in too much detail because they weren't entirely necessary for the story, just to bring it along. But, you know, it was very interesting and a possibility to tell some really fascinating stories.
Okay, you say John, that's Jonathan Lewis. He's the writer.
Yeah, he's the writer you're talking about. That's right.
Okay. Now, if someone wants to get some of your comics, how would they go about doing that?
The best way right now is to hop onto the Blue Shift Kickstarter. That's hyphenated, Blue Shift.
Okay.
Actually, we're offering a tier which gives you all of the comics that we've ever made, or all of the superhero comics we've ever made. So you can get the superhero ones only, or the superhero ones and the sci-fi ones. You can also get them off our website store on www.shadesofvengeance.com/store. Yeah.
Okay, and that's Blue Shift : Frenemies.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Yep, that's going on right now. Okay, cool, cool. Looks good, looks good. Did John ever do any work for DC?
John is not allowed to talk about much of the work that he did.
Okay.
It's one of those situations. So I can't actually tell you that. I can tell you that he has worked on some characters which you will definitely know of.
Yeah, I'm just curious because when I do a search on John, on his name and comics, I get some hits for DC stuff. But okay, so if we can't talk about it, I
can't talk about it. Yes, indeed.
I don't want to, you know, incur the wrath of the Warner Brothers lawyer. Yeah, nudges, so.
Excuse me, sorry.
No worries at all. Okay, so you guys are doing really well. It looks like you're already funded.
Yeah, we are. We are not only funded, actually we're funded in only 14 hours. The Kickstarter's only been running for less than a week now. We've actually broken through 3 stretch goals already.
Okay, that's excellent. Darren Pierce is a well-known name in the RPG world. He's working with you, it looks like.
Darren, yes. Yeah. Yeah, Darren's great. I love working with Darren. This is actually the second project I've sort of worked full on with Darren on. Excuse me. Throat's kind of funny. It's actually the second project I've worked full on with Darren on, but I've worked on a couple of bits and pieces with him in the past. But the other project I've worked with him on is actually not yet released. It's an upcoming game that we've got called Era of the Chosen. We talked about it a little bit sort of on our website and our news and so on. And, you know, I know our fans are aware of it. So, you know, I can say a little bit about it. It's a horror game. And Darren very much worked alongside me to bring that universe to life.
Okay, cool. So if there's a whole bunch of superhero RPGs out right now. And in fact, I just did an award show last week. If anyone hasn't checked out the Bamfsies at bamfsies.blogspot.com, please do. You know, we have a annual award for superhero RPGs, and there's just a ton out right now. There's a renaissance going on in the field. You know, there's sort of an embarrassment of riches. If I'm listening to this podcast and thinking, I've got so many superhero RPGs to choose from, why would I choose Empowered over another one? How would you sell them?
So I would say Era of the Empowered is an attempt to not only provide, as I was saying earlier with the timeline, it's not only trying to provide one superhero role-playing game, it's trying to provide all of the superhero role-playing game subgenres, all of the subgenres of superhero story that you might want to play. We're aiming to provide that all under one umbrella. And
okay, so if you want to do Golden Age or Bronze Age or Cosmic, you guys exactly. have that all in your universe.
Exactly. Okay. That's all covered. And I genuinely believe that the power tree method of handling superpowers is something that's quite innovative, that's sort of a new way of approaching this kind of problem. Because balancing superhero RPGs is, I don't think anyone will dispute that. But, you know, we found a way that really does work. It's got, you know, it's got good mathematical principles behind it. And it's also very easy to learn. You know, over the past 3 years, we've played this with brand new people who've never played a role-playing game before. And they've sat down, they've played even a half-hour game at a convention, they've enjoyed it. We do a lot of that, and we try to bring new people into the hobby, because that's really what it's all about. It's really all about showing people that they can play these games and enjoy these games. You know, they don't have to necessarily be a mathematical genius in order to make things balance. You can have a good time, you know, even if you maybe aren't the best in the universe at figuring everything out. But equally, the Era D10 rule set is something that's designed by mathematicians, by physicists. I'm a former computer scientist. You know, we do the maths, and we make sure that it's got the mathematical complexity for those people who are used to role-playing games. You know, how do you optimize a character? Well, you know, my group of physicists and mathematicians has still not entirely figured that out.
Okay. Now you mentioned, was it the power tree system you said?
Yeah.
Can you explain that to us, or is that too complicated for a quick conversation?
It's not super, super complicated. It works through placing abilities in a tier level. So there are 1, 2, and 3. Okay. And the way it works is you can't level up a tier 2 talent to above what a tier 1 talent is within the tree. A tier 3 talent actually has a blank lockout layer that you have to spend 4 points in before you can even unlock the first point of a tier 3. And you still can't upgrade the tier 3 to above the lockout layer. Now, if you want to unlock both tier 3s beneath the lockout layer, you actually have to spend 8. You have to get all 8 pips filled in, which actually is a total of, what's that, 14 points. Which is going to take you a very, very long time to get through leveling up. And in the meantime, people who have just tier 1 and tier 2 abilities will become very, very skilled with their less powerful abilities, which means that overall the characters really have a very nice feeling of balance. You can be very, very powerful and have an ability which, you know, can blow others away, but you aren't very good at using it and you get a very small number of dice. It's a dice pool system is the Era D10 rule set.
Okay, so is this sort of how you balance having Superman and Batman both on the team kind of thing?
Exactly, yeah. In fact, the only character that I could come up with from DC or Marvel that I actually struggled with putting in one power tree was the Martian Manhunter, just because of the breadth of his abilities. One of the things that you can do once you sort of, you were talking about cosmic games earlier, one of the things you can do is you can actually add a second, even a third or fourth power tree onto your superhero. So you might have one power, and then you might add a second power onto that, or a third power, or a fourth power. And all of those will have the main power, and then the tier 1 expansions, the tier 2 expansions, the tier 3 expansions. So you can actually create characters which are extremely powerful with this system.
Okay, all right. So where have you done most of your playtesting? Has it been Golden Age or Bronze Age or... all over the spectrum?
It's been very, very much across the spectrum, although I would say kind of the most common feel that I've done across everything would be like modern Marvel movies. I'm not quite sure how we refer to those these days.
MCU.
Yeah, but I mean kind of in terms of ages, because it's not quite Bronze Age either, is it? It's sort of the more realistic sort of powers, the more kind of I have limits and the bad guys can actually defeat me.
Okay, cool. Aid, Jacob, Walt, you guys have any questions?
No, you pretty much covered it in the how is this different from the other superhero RPGs. So I'm liking the look of it. You know, congratulations on successfully funding, and looking forward to seeing the final book.
Thank you very much.
Hey, you got anything?
Nope, all good. Yeah, it sounds very interesting. I'd say I like the idea of having the trees and the kind of like starting from one ability and building up to additional tiers. And again, if it's a leveling system, I think that's quite all good. So we don't really tend to have a lot of supers with leveling systems nowadays. It seems to be a character kind of gets these powers and that's it. So the idea you can improve fairly well and kind of strive to be better with these super hot powers is something that's not rarely seen. So it's pretty cool. Cool.
Yeah. Sorry. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's something that I, you know, when I look at superheroes, you know, they might have a natural ability, but you know, they learn to use their power, right? And you know, if you look at someone like Superman, or you look at someone like I don't know, even Iron Man, right? You know, he initially builds his suit, and it's I'm taking the movies here as an example just because it's easy. He initially builds his suit, and it's kind of very much thrown together, and you know, it was built in a cave with a box of scraps, as Jeff Bridges says later in the movie. And you know, as he sort of develops and learns more about how it should look, you know, the suit changes, it improves, it gains new functionality. And, you know, by the time you get to Iron Man 3, he's designing all kinds of suits that have all kinds of abilities, you know, that kind of vary massively from the original suit, which all it could really do is sort of wander around, not, you know, bullets couldn't penetrate it, and it could fly, you know, for a few seconds. You know, it's something that I think that superheroes learn over time, and they sort of improve their abilities. And I agree entirely with Aid. I feel like you don't get enough feel of that when you play a lot of superhero role-playing games.
Yeah, leveling isn't something you usually get into. No, in Icons, it's the leveling rules are fully optional. So that's kind of a cool thing. Anybody have any closing thoughts before we wrap up for the day? Jacob, Aid, Walt, anybody?
I'm good.
Yeah,
looking forward to checking this out.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I'd just like to say thank you very much for having us here. Thank you very much for listening to us ramble. please go ahead and look at the Kickstarter. And if you do, go and listen to the audio stuff that Leo did, because it is absolutely brilliant. Okay.
That's something we should point out. You guys have a lot of audio links on your Kickstarter. There's some actual play on there. And what else do you have?
So we've got the actual play, as you say. I've got two character creation videos. One is sort of the actual character creation. The second one actually goes into a lot of detail about the tree and how it works and so on. The third one, I did a very quick fight between Blue Shift and Penumbra. Penumbra is probably our other most well-known character. She has a couple of comics about her. You know, I did a quick fight between those two just to demonstrate how the combat rules work and so on in actual play. We've also got the theme tune that was composed by Devil Sullivan, who is a fantastic, fantastic composer. I really can't, say well enough how good he really is. He's really brought that cinematic feel to the theme tune. It's absolutely brilliant. I'd recommend it.
He also did a little theme for Blue Shift as well on the Comics Kickstarter, which is a bop. It's so good, man. I love it. It's just ravey as hell. So go and check that one out.
And then also the last two that we currently have up are these two audio stories. The first is about Technodile and fan favorite Martian Pants Man, who will
never be called Martian Pants Man.
He wants to be called Forethought, but unfortunately, his first appearance on television, he happened to be drunk and he declared himself Martian Pants Man, savior of the universe. and the name sort of stuck a little bit, so everyone is now calls him Martian Pants Man, and he's not very happy about it. And then the second story is all about sort of heading towards Atlantis, and a group of individuals who are going underwater to try and approach the city of Atlantis and how they're going to get there.
You know, I'm so happy to hear you guys doing that, because when I first got into RPG publishing, 10 years ago. I was doing a setting called Wizards and Wise Guys, and actually hooked up with the guy who did Radio Theater to do some short story, you know, audio stories to promote it. And actually, I think everyone on this podcast was involved in one way or another with doing Stark City, which is something I did for Icons a few years ago, 5 years ago. And we did a theme album for that. We had a soundtrack for it. And I'm always wondering why I don't see more people doing, you know, stuff, audio stuff, especially with digital publishing, because, you know, it's on the internet, you can do it. And so kudos to you guys. Yeah. Nice to see that.
I mean, 100% credit to Leo for that. He walked up to me one day at the convention and said, hey, I love your stuff. Can I make an audio drama about your sci-fi game? That was the only game we had back then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of he went away, he did his audio drama, and it was brilliant. Hardcastle's Havoc, it's called. Presumably you can find it if you Google it.
Yes, you can give it a Google. Shameless plug for a split second. Leo C. Voices on SoundCloud is where it's hosted, I believe. If it's not, please shout at us on the Ear of the Empowered Facebook group.
So yeah, I was going to mention that. I was going to mention that as well. We've got an official Ear of the Empowered Facebook group. What we're doing is we're actually putting out material every day. That's images by the artist Keith. Again, brilliant. I'm really, really fortunate. I've managed to bring together a brilliant team. They're really experienced. They're really, really talented.
What's your artist's last name?
Keith Draws is the artist.
Yeah, he goes by Keith Draws. Yeah.
That's a fortunate last name for an artist. Okay, cool.
It's not actually his last name, but that's what he goes by. Keith is, you know, so he's doing all the artwork, and I'm putting out artwork. I'm putting out some of the stories from the book. I'm putting out some of the audio stuff we're doing. And every day there's something new. So go ahead and have a look for that. I'd strongly recommend. If you want to know more about Ear of the Empowered, not quite ready to leap in and join up with the Kickstarter.
All right, sounds good. All right, well, hey, thanks everybody for listening. Check out Ear of the Empowered, and we'll catch you next time on the BAMF Podcast.